I feel like we got the best stadium in football, you know, best fan base in football. You know, we definitely love having, you know, our crowd behind us. It kind of energizes us and can demoralize the other team a little bit, or at least it feels that way. And, you know, for us, we know it when it's loud like that, that we have to, you know, communicate well, whether that's verbal communication or nonverbal communication, you know, and a lot of that is my job, getting the call out. But at the same time, it takes the entire unit being locked in.
Here we go. Michael Thomas, Saints receiver, on the craziness that New Orleans fans can do with the Who Dat. And they welcome the Rams this week. You heard him on the previous segment. Join us now. Director of Mixology, Trade Development, Southern Glazers, Wines and Spirit of Nevada. This is What's on Tap every Thursday here on ESPN Radio. J.R. Starkus. Yeah, almost every time you come in, you get something wrong with me or my life. You've always got some kind of evaluation. Today, because I told you, I didn't tell you, but I said on the air the night when my son was going back to college, you know, we took him out to dinner, and he's a huge Thai guy. He's way too healthy. I don't like this. But anyway, he wanted to go to Thai, so I said, all right. It was also his birthday, so I guess I had to take him where he wanted to go. But we found a Thai place out by me where daughter was doing a school event, and she was going to join us after we sat down. And all I said was, on the reviews, they said Thai food is great and there's live music. That, to me, when I hear live music, I believe that insinuates there's a band.
Or something, yes.
Or something. Maybe a guy playing a piano. I don't know. It does not insinuate some drunk broad singing for 30 minutes karaoke when I walk in the place.
Correct.
But that's what I got. Mm-hmm. I also told the story that half hour in, right before my daughter got there, we still hadn't gotten our food, Frank Sinatra walked in with Celine Dion, this couple who were these incredible singers that, like, we almost fell off our chairs. You don't like karaoke at all. I'm not sure how much you like people, but you said that if you go into a karaoke place, even if your meal's on the way and it's the greatest food ever, you will walk out. What is this?
Well,
about?
I would pay the bill when I charge.
Well, yeah, you're not.
Yes, I would leave. It's not my bag. I don't like it. Like, to me, like, there's a lot of great singers out there, but when there are some bad singers, yeah, exactly. Like but when there are some bad singers singing, like, I'm not interested in being part of it. And people have asked me all the time, do you want to come carry? No.
You won't go.
I don't want to go. I don't want to listen. I don't want to partake. I don't want to. No, I'm just, it's not my thing. So if I were eating at a place, even as a great Thai restaurant,
right,
and then karaoke started to break out, like, I would be like, can I get the check, please?
Really?
I'd leave.
Would the family leave with you?
They would leave with me because I'm paying the bill.
My son
for sure would go with. My wife would probably go with. She'd give me a hard time at first,
right,
but
yes,
she would go too. But
good, Brianne.
She would give me a hard time at first, but she's like, are you serious? And I'd say, yeah, I'm not sitting through this. This isn't enjoyable to me. Like,
okay,
I want to enjoy my meal with my family.
The woman in the beginning was brutal. What I always find weird is, and people, I think the people who were in the restaurant obviously knew there was karaoke, especially that great singing couple came in. They came in, sat in the front, wanted to be next. I mean, they knew what went on there. So it's definitely a locals place. I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of in a strip mall in the Northwest. There was a guy who went up after the drunk woman before Sinatra got there, and he was brutal. I mean, God love him. I mean, you're sitting in front of people singing, I don't want to do that at this point, but he was brutal. Okay, if I'm that guy, but I'm following brutal, and I'm brutal, everything's cool. You know, we're all brutal. I mean, it's not good for my family in the back, and there's, you know, looking at me, do you guys want to come up? We start laughing. No, you're out of your mind. But then Sinatra and Celine Dion come in, and they belt out a few numbers. I'm like, oh, well, let's just have these people sing all night.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, who's next? And the brutal guy goes back up. And I'm like, why would you follow those people?
Well,
this
is
a disaster.
They don't care.
No, that's the thing. He mustn't care what people think. I'm like, dude, please, we've heard you. There's no chance you're following the Sinatra person. And he did, and a long song. I don't even remember the song. And the whole time, Tristan's looking at me, he goes, why'd he go up after that guy? I'm like, I have no idea. And he didn't even make the joke.
You refuse? You're not in charge. The DJ pulls your name out of the bucket and try to go in order.
Well,
and what are you going to say? No, not me. I don't want to follow.
No, but he didn't even make that joke, though.
Engelbert Humperdinck.
If I'm horrible and I know it, there's no chance this guy doesn't know he's terrible. You at least make the joke, well, you know, why would you want to follow this gentleman? You know, I'm just going to give my best here. Then you give him a little, you know, you give a little clap at the end. Buddy, when you go up there confident in that you can sing and you're horrible and you're following Sinatra, I have no sorriness for it. I don't feel anything for you.
JR feels no remorse whatsoever. And these were lessons learned at an early age. Is that correct? From your dad, who
likes
cognac and 7-Up, and he's like, you know what? Yep. I am done here at church.
Yep. I was telling you guys during the break, I was raised Catholic. I'm Catholic, and I remember as a kid, my mom used to travel quite a bit. She still does. She owns her own travel agency, so she travels a bit. but I remember for this particular one, my mom was gone on a cruise with my grandmother, I think, and it was my father, my brother, and I. And at church, there was a particular lady that my dad felt was overly dramatic.
Reading the epistles.
Doing the readings and whatnot. He felt she was overly dramatic. So we would go to early mass, 7 a.m. on Sunday morning. And there was something we had planned afterwards. It was probably fishing or something like that. Who knows? Golf, probably. Anyhow, my dad said, we're going to go to church. My brother and I are complaining, you know, as typical as you would as a young kid. And he says, listen, if this person is at mass, he said, we'll leave. I said, okay. So we go. We get there early, as we typically do. We sit, and our friends who also went to 7 o'clock mass with their other children and stuff, they were sitting around us. So we were in the middle of the pews. This lady comes walking out as soon as the procession comes up through the altar.
Right.
My dad says, let's go.
Oh my gosh.
Stood up, and we walked out. Oh. It was the most awesome day of my life.
And you believe this was your father, yes, more so than walking out on the dramatic actress reading the epistles, teaching his boys a lesson that you follow what you say, and if you say you're going to leave, then you leave.
You're a man of your word.
Man of your word.
End of story. Yep. You're a man of your word. My dad told us that day that, you know, if this happens, this is happening, and it happened.
Yeah, well, you're in the house of God. What about patience as a virtue?
Yeah.
Well, you know, he'd come back later.
Yeah.
You know. Clay, you know, as the altar boy, I couldn't get away with that.
Nope.
Because the old man read the epistles. My old man, he was as dramatic as he can. And the Father and the Son and dragging out every syllable. I said, let's go. Let's move on.
No, this
was the dad, and I'm the altar boy. I couldn't get out of there like that.
This lady, I remember, too, because she would have these
long dramatic pauses. Yeah.
Oh, it would kill me. And I remember looking. And
this is their time. This is their time to shine. Reading, you know, the fourth book of John according to the, you know, St. Peter and Paul. Yeah.
And my father would always be like, nobody's here to see you. Right. Nobody's here to see you. Like, and still today, if he were standing here, he would tell you the same. Nobody's here to see you. Right. We're here for somebody else. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. I love it.
So no karaoke.
I love my father. What's
that? No karaoke.
None. No, it's not for me. It's not my bag. I can't even think of a time I've ever been in a karaoke bar. Honestly.
So Ellis Island after midnight,
no.
You're not going to meet me out?
No.
Do they have that there?
Do they have it there? It's world famous till 3 a.m.
Yeah, no.
Oh,
not,
man.
No, wouldn't go.
The only time I've ever been to Ellis Island is for the root beer and the steak special at 6 p.m.
Well, you missed out on the eggnog.
More my time.
No, seriously, I didn't. I told me something. I did not. We went the times we've gone.
Oh, there's
there,
always something going there's, on, man.
Was the steak special and the root beer?
If you're a professional singer, I'll definitely listen to you sing. But having somebody come up there and just that thinks they can sing that can't, like, that's torture.
But why do you think Sinatra goes to somewhere like that Thai restaurant? Why did that guy? I was asking Clay that the other day. Why was that guy there? I'm telling you, this guy was beyond a professional singer. Why are you at this place?
Maybe he's the guy that wants to be like, all right, watch this.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking. Like,
watch,
you know,
this.
Well, I can dust the, you know, dust everybody off here and look like the major guy. And why not? Because you get a big rush out of it.
When we come back, we're going to get a rush out of this man making some drinks. It's J.R. Starkus. We're going
to
be live on Facebook. Get on there. He's going to show you what they might be drinking this weekend outside in the cold in Kansas City, inside in the warmth of New Orleans. Back.
Ready for the weekend?
It's like I picked the wrong week to quit drinking.
Let's find out what's on tap with J.R. Starkus.
Champagne, perfume going in, sewage coming out.
Here we go. Director of Mixology, Trade Development, Southern Glazers, Wines and Spirits, J.R. Starkus. Follow him on Twitter, at J.R. Starkus. So the challenge this week, as we've said, New Orleans hosts the Rams. The Chiefs and Arrowhead, Chili Arrowhead, will be hosting the Patriots and Tom Brady. So we wanted you to perhaps bring the folks a couple drinks that maybe people there might be enjoying this week as the games get underway.
The drink from New Orleans was easy.
I would imagine it
was easy and it was hard because there are so many great cocktails to choose from in New Orleans, right?
From New Orleans.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so many, whether it be the Sazerac or the Ramos Gin Fizz or whatever you choose.
I would say like the Hurricane, stuff like that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. You know, I chose to build today. I'm going to do a daiquiri, but I'm not going to do the daiquiri that they would do in New Orleans because, frankly, that's not necessarily the real daiquiri. The real daiquiri is a hand-shaken drink. And it's basically a rum margarita. So I'm gonna do a daiquiri today for my friends in New Orleans, because you know I think, like the margarita, the daiquiri is something that people have. They always think it's a blended drink and it's red, and it's not. It's
like
none of
Mai
those things.
Tai,
yeah, sure. And it's not. It's not that. And while on the Strip or in New Orleans, you can go to a great daiquiri bar and you can get those, you know, really sugary red or green or whatever color daiquiris, you know, they call them. You can certainly do that. But what I'm going to make for you today is a real daiquiri and something that you can make for yourself at home. You don't need the use of a blender or any kind of weird syrup or anything like that. And if you decide to, you know, it's not the right season necessarily to add your fresh fruit to it, but you could add your favorite fruit, whatever that may be, strawberries, blueberries, raspberries, or whatnot, even though it's not the right season per se. And then for Kansas City, you know that's obviously much less of a historical hub for cocktails than New Orleans. I don't know that there would be a better one than New Orleans, quite frankly, but... you know, so I tried to play off of the fact that we'd probably see something with barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
And so I brought a couple products to play with to mix that might sound interesting because I'm going to mix a flavored whiskey with a Bacanora. And so I'm going to use not your father's bourbon.
I like those when you bring those.
Right, because I've brought that before. But the reason I'm choosing not your father's bourbon to mix with the Sonora Bacanora is because not your father's bourbon, it is it tastes in its flavor with a little bit of vanilla. But to me, I also get like a sarsaparilla root beer kind of thing, and those flavors go incredibly well with barbecue. The Sonora Bacanora is interesting because it is kind of a hybrid between tequila and mezcal. Right, mezcal is a spirit or an agave category that is dramatically increasing in its popularity, but it's still a lot for people with the smokiness that a lot of people get off of the way that it's produced, and I understand that. Right, it can be a lot for somebody to get into a mezcal directly from tequila, or maybe they're not even a tequila drinker because it does have a very smoky forward flavor. What's interesting about Sonora Bacanora, it is like perfectly in the middle. It's the perfect hybrid between tequila and mezcal, and it's kind of the thing that the millennials and such are gravitating towards now. It's a lot of fun to play with in cocktails, and it's really affordable. And what makes it nice is that when I put it into this cocktail, it will add a little bit of the smoky essence that I would expect to have in Kansas City barbecue.
Okay.
So okay. Both drinks are incredibly easy to make, as we try to do here.
Yep.
And both drinks will basically be a sour style cocktail. So I'll start with the daiquiri. So like I was saying, like a lot of people think that a daiquiri is this red drink that comes in a hurricane. It comes either out of a machine or you have to put in a blender, and that's not the case at all.
Those tall glasses on the Strip.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. Where it's on, you wear it on a necklace, and
yes,
it's like
exactly.
It drags on the ground. And that's not a daiquiri. That's what a daiquiri has become. But a real daiquiri is nothing more than rum, lime, sugar. Basically.
You're kidding me.
That's it. Rum, lime, and sugar. So if you think of the lime and sugar part like a margarita, because a margarita is tequila, lime, and sugar. And in a matter of how are we getting our sugar? In a margarita, a lot of the time you're using agave for your sugar. In a daiquiri, we would just use a simple syrup, right? So I pre-made, as I typically do, my lime sour, right? So this is equal parts fresh lime juice and simple syrup, 1-to-1. And when I say 1-to-1 simple syrup, it's typically what I work off of, but it's equal parts sugar and water dissolved.
Okay.
And then mixed with this. So that's all that is. That's, you know, it could be, if you wanted it to be agave, it could be honey syrup, whatever the case is. But today, I'm going to use just lime sour with sugar. So when you're making this for yourself at home, both of these drinks are going to be off of this same sour, okay? The daiquiri is a shaken cocktail, and it's typically served in a coupe or a cocktail glass like this, and the garnish is very simple. It's just a lime wheel. Now, if you wanted to add your favorite fruit, by all means, you certainly can. You can add a ton of different fruits if you like. You can add more lime if you like it to be a little more sour, and you can add more sugar if you like it to be sweeter. This way that I'm building it for you today will be pretty simple, pretty balanced. If you are the type of person that says, hey, I don't, that's not my bag, I really want the frozen red drink, well, then you can do that. You can add your fruit to it. But when you put anything in a blender with ice, since you're adding so much water, you'll need to increase the amount of sour mix or lemon or lime or and sugar that you add. Otherwise, it's just going to taste like water.
Okay, okay? Let's
so
do
you
it.
Have to play with those things. So for my first cocktail, I'm going to use Bayou Rum. I chose Bayou Rum today. This is a white rum. They have a white. They have a spice. They have an aged, et cetera. But this is from Louisiana.
Nice.
Most rums are made from molasses, which is the byproduct of sugarcane production. This is made from a combination of both molasses and sugarcane juice, which makes it a unique flavor, but a lot of a great rum for your classic daiquiri. So we're going to start with 2 ounces of Bayou Rum in my mixing glass because we're going to shake this cocktail. And then I'm going to add 1 ounce. Actually, let's do 1.5 ounces today.
Okay.
We'll do 1.5 ounces of our lime sour.
Our lime sour. Mm-hmm.
So basically, that would be 3/4 ounces of lime juice and 3/4 ounces of my 1-to-1 simple syrup. Okay. That's it. That's all you need.
Okay? That's all you need.
That's it. So now I'm going to shake it.
And we are live on Facebook at ESPN Las Vegas going through the Sugar House recipe of Bayou Rum as well as... This is the easiest daiquiri I think we've ever seen in our lives. I can't believe that's just at 3 ingredients.
Yes, and 2 if you have it pre-batched. I mean, that's all it is. And then it's strained into a cocktail glass.
Oh my God, that thing looks luminescent like the moon. Look at that thing.
It's not red.
No, it's not red. It's this beautiful silvery color.
That's a daiquiri. That's
wow.
It. That's it.
People and right now who get those things in the strip are like, it doesn't look like that when I have it hanging around my neck.
Exactly. No, it doesn't.
It's slushy.
Nor does it taste like that, yeah. You know? So that's a daiquiri. And what I like about this drink for this weekend watching the game is that it's a great, really refreshing drink. And I don't know if I've ever made an easier drink. That's as easy as it gets, right? Unless you're just pouring whiskey or something over ice.
Right.
There you go.
Daiquiri. Beautiful. And that's with a great Bayou Rum from Louisiana. They use a Louisiana sugar cane and the molasses. And okay. You can find that. It's like a $15, $16 bottle in and around town. That's easy to find.
Yep, easy to find, really affordable, and great for not only this cocktail, but it works for your rum and coke. It works for your mojito. So it's got a lot of applications. It's not too... pigeonholed into one style of rum, where this works for a lot of different ones, but it's really affordable and a great rum from Louisiana. So there you go. Then next, I'm going to build this cocktail that is, I would imagine, would go well with barbecue and for all of our Kansas City fans. Yep, exactly. So very similar in idea. I'm going to use 1 ounce of my Not Your Father's Bourbon. And Not Your Father's Bourbon, like I mentioned before, is a vanilla-flavored bourbon. But also, to me, I get flavors of like the root beer, sarsaparilla kind of flavors, which go very well with barbecue. Because as I was thinking about the cocktail for today, I was looking at doing something with root beer and whatnot. But I'm a weird guy. I'm not the biggest root beer fan, but I do, for some reason, enjoy a root beer float. I don't know. Okay. Probably because of the ice cream. You can probably relate, Randy.
But darn right.
Yeah. So I'm going to use 1 ounce of Not Your Father's Bourbon in this cocktail.
JR, are all these products out there where people can get them?
Oh, yeah. All of them are available where you can get them at your favorite liquor store, wherever that may be. And all readily available and not expensive.
Okay.
Which we try to do here a lot. And then Sonora Bacanora. This is made from a different agave than tequila or mezcal is made. And like I said before, it's kind of the nice hybrid right in between tequila and mezcal. So it's got some smoke to it, not too much. And it's got some sweetness to it from the agave as well. Really one of my favorite products that I came across. It's newer to our portfolio, and it's a lot of fun to play with. So I'm going to use 1 ounce of the Sonora Bacanora as well.
So you did 1 ounce of each.
Correct. So I have 2 ounces of spirit, and it also shows you that you can mix 2 different spirits, right?
Which I love. I just love how the very like sweet Not Your Father's Bourbon, and then with the Bacanora with a slightly smoky taste to it. That's really cool.
And I'm going to do the same thing. 1.5 ounces of myself. Yep, same thing. So we're just going to have essentially the same proportions. I used 2 ounces of the Bayou, but I used 1 and 1, so I have 2 ounces and 1.5 ounces of my sour. So build-wise, in mixology, it's exactly the same kind of foundation. I just split the base of my next drink. Really, really easy, okay? Now I'm going to add ice and shake.
God, I love that. See, if you're going to go and use and make simple syrup and take the time to get the fresh lime juice and do the equal parts sugar and water, now you can make several different drinks with this same kind of mixture.
Exactly.
I love that, man.
Exactly.
That's really good.
right, so an easy shake.
Ed and I always get this wonderful smile when you do that shake. It's hilarious, dude.
I make drinks for a living. I should smile, right?
I know, but I mean, there's just pure joy in your face when you do it. It's wonderful.
So you're saying if I'm at my favorite Kansas City joint, and we've had the smoke ribs, and we've got all the sides, but I want a little something extra to push it across, this would be fine in terms of drinking.
Definitely, and it would go with your food.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So since this is Kansas City and it's outdoors, I am serving this drink on ice.
Okay.
So it's going to be cold there, so we should have
it's
a cold drink.
It's going to be
drink,
very
right,
cold
right?
there, yes.
You'll see it's about the same color as the other drink.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, this beautiful luminescent silver off-white.
What is this, an orange slice maybe?
Yeah, just an orange right inside here for our garnish.
Wow. Oh my God, man. That was like super simple. That
so
took
easy.
You like 3 seconds
so
to
easy.
Make each drink.
Yeah, no, it's really simple. You could... You know, if you're having a party at the house, you could also basically have all of this pre-batched, or you see it's just a few different ingredients, but the sour is the same. So it makes it really easy to have your guest or yourself make these drinks for them and not miss any of the game, quite
right.
frankly.
Right.
You know,
well,
so
especially if you pre-make it.
Exactly. Really, really easy to do. And I think you'll find that they're both really pleasing to the palate as well when you're watching the game and cheering on your favorite team.
All right, let's do it. Let's take a commercial break.
Let's drink it, and we'll come back with J.R. Starkus, and we'll close it out here on the Press Box.
He said the clock on the wall said 3 o'clock.
Here we are, closing out on a Thursday. Good guest tomorrow. Full pack show. Mackenzie at 9. She's out of her mind. We'll go over the Pacquiao fight. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that one.
With Steve Kim.
Yeah,
and, we'll have, as well as Z-Con from UNLV Rebel
yep.
Hockey will
yep.
be in with us. We'll also have Sam Gordon.
We're chasing Sam Gordon on the Gorman-Finley game, which is the big game on Saturday, the big basketball game.
Big
game
City Showdown.
High school basketball.
And we'll have a couple of NFL writers, including Gary Myers, an author. We'll go over the games as well. It'll be a lot of football and a lot of sports this weekend. We'll make sure we'll cram it all in for your Friday enjoyment.
Enjoyed both drinks. The New Orleans was so simple, but it was great. But also, let's talk about, and you loved this, the barbecue tent and what we got from the Kansas City drink was amazing. And then smelling the alcohol, it's like you were walking past a smoker.
Smelling the Bacanora is very, very cool because we have had agave many times, but we've never had it like this. They call it Agave Pacifica with the Sonora Distillery. Tell us about what makes that special about the agave and brings that smoke flavor in.
So when you're creating or when you make a tequila, when you have to cook the agave, you have to cook it so that way you compress it to get juice out. The juice is then what you ferment and distill, et cetera, et cetera.
It's a spiky little thing, and you got to harness it somehow, right?
Yes, exactly. I mean, they grow them here too. You just can't use them here because tequila is a domain of origin specific to Mexico,
right, to that one area.
Right. So when you talk about Bacanora. Or mezcal, for instance, they take a different type of agave, but they still have to cook it. So the agave that they use is irrelevant more than the fact that they have to take this agave and rather than put it into an oven like you do with tequila, you put it into either an oven or like what's like a pressure cooker.
Okay.
You take it in these agaves and you basically cook them in an earthen pit. You cover it with rocks and dirt and whatnot, and you leave it in there for a week, sometimes more. And it will attract all those flavors of smoke will find its way into the agave. I liken it when I teach it in class. I say, if I took a turkey, however I like to dress it, and I put it in the oven, and I pull it out of the oven for Thanksgiving, it tastes like it tastes, and that's what you get. But if I take that same turkey and I put it onto a Weber kettle, and I cover it, there's smoke that comes out. You taste some of that smoke, barbecue flavor. The same thing happens here. When you bury those agaves to cook them in the earthen pit, that flavor comes through in the final product in what you have in the bottle. So, like I said before, the Sonora Bacanora is kind of like the halfway point between tequila and mezcal.
Yeah.
And then you
the missing
get,
link, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. And then when you get into mezcal, you get even more smoke. And with those smoke also comes other very, very unique flavors. But if you've never had mezcal and you're thinking about trying it, I highly recommend starting here because it's the perfect stepping stone, in my opinion, into the world of mezcal.
Oh, if you've
awesome
never
stuff.
Had Bacanora before at a liquor store or a bar menu, don't think. Just drink. Just go and try it
Amen.
For yourself. You're going to love it. And to be honest with you, the Bayou Rum, that was the easiest looking daiquiri I've ever seen in my life.
I bet it would taste great.
I mean, that fulfills everybody at any party right there, and it's just easy. Buy you rum, $15 bottle, found at any liquor store here in town. Yep. You absolutely
pre-make
have to
it,
go
and
do
you
that.
Just people walk in the door, you start pouring.
Get the lime juice, get the simple syrup and the water ready, and boom, you're in.
Ready to go. Easy as that.
It's magic, man. It was beautiful. Check it out for yourself on Facebook Live at ESPN Las Vegas on Facebook.
Next week, I am excited. You are going to bring us through the Prohibition times. This will be awesome.
Prohibition.
Clay's
drinks,
already
man.
Given you a few texts of what he wants you to make.
I'll make them. I'll make them.
I was thinking we should dress up like pre-Prohibition times, like with hats and cigars
suit,
and stuff.
Like
and
something like that.
Spats on our shoes and stuff. Yeah, let's do that.
Or not.
Or just come armed. Come armed like your Al Capone.
Perfect. And then we'll go to karaoke.
Darn right. All right. Thanks, JR. JR Starkus. Follow him on Twitter at JR Starkus. He'll be back next Thursday with Prohibition Drinks. This will be awesome. Thanks for listening today again to all our guests. And tomorrow, big show ahead, as Clay said. We'll get really into those football games, basketball, boxing. Talk all about it tomorrow in the press box.
Coming up next is Technically Correct here on ESPN Las Vegas.